You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, tens of thousands of Northerners were without power Saturday and Sunday after a wicked windstorm blew through the region Saturday night. A few hundred people are still without power as crews work around the clock to restore power to remote communities. A yellow wind warning alert was issued by Environment Canada, which put first responders and hydro crews on high alert. The damages are being assessed, but some outages are still widespread. Today, to give us more insight on how the repairs to Northern BC's electrical grid are going, we speak with Bob Gammer, BC Hydro's Community Relations Manager for Northern BC.
My name is Bob Gammer. I'm the Northern Community Relations Manager for BC Hydro, and I'm based in Prince George.
Great, Bob. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. Of course, as you know, there was a major windstorm the other night, and we saw a number of power outages, some of them that are persisting. Maybe you can give us a quick update about the current outages here in northern British Columbia.
So right now we have about 150 customers out in what's showing as the Grand Isle area. It's actually more Smithers Landing and Fort Babine. 660 customers out in the Hazeltons and about 15 or 20 customers remaining out in the Smithers area. We just took care of an outage in Prince Rupert, so those customers are all back on.
I know the...
Go ahead. So one thing we do want your listeners to be aware of, especially those in Fort Babine and Smithers Landing, or if you know people who live there, customers in those two communities will be out overnight again tonight. The damage is extensive, and it's helicopter access required for our crews to get in there and start, getting the poles back up and the wires back on and then getting customers restored. So that will take into tomorrow for those customers to be restored.
Bob, maybe you can give us a bit of a breakdown. That was the other question. What kind of damage was sustained during that windstorm the other night?
So damage was typically caused by trees contacting power lines, and so enough to cause a fault, and so the customer was out. In some cases, in many cases, there was wire down on the ground, so along with that, broken poles and some damaged transformers. So all of that equipment that you would typically see on a power pole, that is what was damaged. And so, that required us to bring in additional crews from the South Interior and the Lower Mainland to help support crews in the Northwest. We had 10 additional crews come up to support the local crews to get the power restored in all of these communities. In total, by the time the winds had done most of their damage on Sunday morning, there were 15 communities in northern BC that had power outages.
That's quite a few. I know this is not the first time that something like this has happened, but obviously we're seeing more intense storms, windstorms like this, which we normally wouldn't see very often, are starting to happen more and more. What's BC Hydro and their partners doing to kind of insulate some of the infrastructure for future events like this?
So we do maintenance on our system year-round, and a lot of that is to make sure that our lines and our poles are in good condition. And then we also do vegetation maintenance work. So there's a certain amount of space between trees and power lines, the lines that you would see going to your home and business. And so we maintain that gap and are always watching for trees that are potential hazards. And so if a tree is leaning or if the tree is diseased and unhealthy and could potentially fall, in a windstorm, we are taking those trees out. Now, you know northern British Columbia, and your listeners do too, and there are millions and millions of trees, and many of them right alongside our power lines. So our crews do the best they can, and they take the trees that are the most obvious problems. And they also mow down vegetation as it starts to grow up and get close to the power lines from underneath. So all of that work helps to prevent potential outages and minimize damage. We don't control the wind, and the wind sometimes will blow hard in one spot and not in another just close by. And so, you know, we could see damage in one place and in other places unscathed. And so hard to predict, but we try to keep our system healthy, you know, all over. And generally speaking, that keeps our reliability up well over 99%.
Bob, another question I had, you know, I was out and about, and yes, I saw a lot of downed trees, trees on power lines, trees across the road. And I just wonder, you know, these events seem pretty large. And in terms of the personnel that Hydro employs to go out there and manage these types of events, is it just BC Hydro, or do you have other contractors that work with you as well? And who are those contractors?
Yeah, so we, like I mentioned, we do bring some of our own crews from outside of the region to support the local crews. But you're right, we do bring in contractors as well. And so we have firms based in a few communities in northern BC, and they usually have additional offices, so they're spread out. And so we can make use of them. I don't have a list by name of contractors just at my fingertips here. But just to say that, yes, we do use contractors, and we definitely did use contractors over the last couple of days to get the lights back on.
I know as we move forward here, potentially we could see some more of these types of storms, you know, this type of year when we're kind of moving in and out of different seasons. But what's the recommendation for folks who do lose power, especially in remote areas? What's the recommendation for them to deal with some of these outages, knowing that obviously electricity and powering appliances and fridges and freezers is a big deal for a lot of these remote communities?
We always remind our customers to be prepared for a power outage. British Columbia has more trees per kilometer than most other jurisdictions in Canada and North America. So power outages are just to be expected. And when storms come in like that, where winds are gusting up to potentially 90 kilometers an hour, we know that the trees are vulnerable and we will see outages. So we have information on our website, bchydro.com, on how to prepare for outages, to have an emergency kit ready for the first 72 hours. Just like any other kind of natural disaster, if we had an earthquake or a tsunami, people may be on their own for the first 3 days before help can arrive. And so just like that, we want people to be ready for a lengthy power outage. Now, we never want to have that happen, of course. And in fact, even in this recent outage, we got 90% of our customers restored within 24 hours. So most of the time, you're not going to see that. But still, we've got good information on the website that will tell you what to pack and what to have handy, so that way you can survive a lengthy outage.
And just the last thing for you, Bob, if people do come across a downed tree on a power line or a power line on the ground, what should they do, and who should they contact to report those incidences?
Yeah, this is a really key question. So you have to maintain personal safety and the safety of others near you. So always assume that a power line, if it's on the ground, it is still live. And so keep back 10 meters and phone 911. And the 911 folks will get a hold of us, and we'll see through our system that something's wrong as well. But phone 911 when you see wire down and stay back 10 meters. That's like the length of a school bus, just to give you some perspective. And make sure that other people are also staying back that distance.
Okay. Bob, thank you so much for your time today and giving us all this info. Very helpful. And hopefully our listeners out there will be in tune and get the hint and make sure that if they see any of these problems, they'll call it in.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you very much, Daniel. That was really good questions. Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.